Tweet at TodaySOR.
Long before we had the internet, and indeed long before there was even a road to Dublin in most parts of the country, it was the local paper that delivered the news, and buying that paper every week was a matter of habit for most people. Now, sales figures in recent years have indicated that the golden age of the provincial paper is long gone. I'm joined in studio by one man who's trying to buck that trend, Frank Mulrennan, Chief Executive of the Celtic Media Group, which owns seven regional titles. And also, for a reminder of the value of the local paper, in studio also so the former editor of the Longford Leader, Eugene McGee, and my own colleague, Regina Henley, whose father, PJ Henley, the late PJ Henley, ran the Connacht Telegraph in Castlebar for many years. Frank, you are the one who's still in the business. And how has it been going? I suppose if you survived the last 5 or 6 years in a provincial newspaper and are still going, you must have a reasonable chance into the future.
Absolutely, Sean. I mean, most businesses in this country are having to re-engineer and restructure and reorganise after what happened to this lovely little island of ours. The local newspaper business is very much part of that, and Celtic Media Group is one of the really good news stories in 2012.
Just remind us, sorry, of the titles that you own.
Yeah, we have some very fine titles. For example, the Anglo-Celt in Cavan, Meath Chronicle just up the road in Navan, the Westmeath Examiner in Mullingar, Westmeath Independent in Athlone. We have Offaly Independent, really good free newspaper. We have Forum in South Meath. And in the last couple of months, Sean, we bought the Connacht Telegraph newspaper in Castlebar. And part of our own particular business is we also have a substantial printing business, which again has been important in terms of getting us through those difficult years.
And how are sales doing?
Sales are doing well. I mean, you and I spent plenty of time in national newspapers. I'd have to say, Sean, I would much prefer to be in the position I'm in now, running a local newspaper business as opposed to a national paper business. Because, for example, in Celtic Media Group, we have two newspapers in Mullingar with the Westmeath Examiner and the Westmeath Independent, which are putting on circulation. Now, is it a large percentage figure? No, but it's growing. Whereas national newspaper sales are taking a big hit, particularly from other competitors and digital.
Eugene, is there always going to be a role for the local paper, as in the paper that you go into the shop or have delivered to your door and pick up and read?
Absolutely, there's no doubt about that. I mean, the numbers may decline or they may not decline. Personally, I think that probably the decline in recent years has probably reached its lowest point. I think the local papers are indispensable. It's as simple as that to people who live in the local area. They're not indispensable to somebody from Fochnock, but they're indispensable in the county because the only way you can hear the things that are in the remote part of any county are from the reporter who circulates in that area. You won't hear it on RTE, you won't hear it on Sky, you won't hear it anywhere else, you won't see it on the internet either. So you'll only see it in your local paper. And that's the secret of it, I mean, because each time you buy the Longford Leader or the Westmeath Examiner or the Anglo-Celt, you know, you don't know, you can't afford to miss it because there might be something in it from your area that you missed and you'd be a laughing stock if you didn't know what it was.
Regina, aside from being the daughter of the general manager, the much admired PJ Henley in the Connacht Telegraph, you also worked in the Connacht Tribune, I think, and in the Mayo News. And you go back and over a lot to your home county of Mayo. Mm. Now, again, what's your sense of the importance of the local paper at the present time?
Well, like Eugene says, I think the place a local paper has in a community is vital. And it's vital to people that live there. I mean, you say I do go home a lot. I'm probably of an age group that is of the internet generation and you have your smartphone. But myself, my friends, we'd all probably share the view that you go home and the local paper, I think Frank will have figures that it does sit around the house for maybe 5 days and it's left there and you go home, you pick it up and I'll have a flick through it and I'll see if I recognise anyone in the photos. I'll see if the brother is featured in the sports pages. I might have a look at the court cases, which of course are a huge part of the news fodder for the local paper, and see, do I know anyone that was in a bit of bother?
But how much of that is due to the fact that you were effectively born with ink on your fingers?
Born into it. It is, obviously, I do have an interest in news, and I was reared in, I have to say, Frank, the offices that the Connacht Telegraph occupied before you took it over were far less salubrious when I was growing up, a rookery of a building. But I do think, you know, news, as I come into my 30s and I see my friends as we get to a certain age, you know, and I see it happening across our generation, that what happens to people you know in a place you live or a place you remember as home will always be vital to you and will always be of interest to you. Even if you didn't grow up in it, I think that is something that, that will sustain. And I, like Frank, I would think, you know, the future of the local paper is far safer than the future of the national newspaper.
And going back to, say, your dad's time, I mean, he was somebody who was the general manager, but he maybe he did a little bit more than generally manage.
Oh, absolutely. When I, you know, if people possibly don't appreciate the local in the local paper, I mean, there'd be people calling to our door at all hours of the day and night with either an ad for bales of hay for sale. We'd do the paper run when the papers be delivered to Castlebar.
Like on keeping a court case out.
Keeping a court case out was a big one. You'd have many's the bothered mother and father with their young fella in trouble looking to have it out of the paper. You'd do the paper run down to all these places and Dad would do that, you know, and then he'd go back and have a man, you know, a big meeting after that. It was, everything was involved in the general manager job.
And Eugene, you began, I think, dealing with a local political figure who became a national and indeed, I suppose, at certain times, an international figure. That was Albert Reynolds, who, did he own one or two or both the papers in Longford
at different
times?
He bought the Longford News, which was a small paper in Longford, basically mainly in the town of Longford and run by this eccentric man, Vincent Gill, for years. And he got very old, so it was about to fold, and Albert Reynolds decided he was coming into the verge of big-time politics, that he would buy it as a platform for public. In fact, I ran the paper for him, would you believe it, for 6 months. And all the Fianna Fáil crowd used to say for years, McGee, of course, he's mad anti-Fianna Fáil. But anyway, after that then, it was expanded and into the Longford News and began to be all over the county and so on. So he used it for 5 or 6 years, and then when he had become a TD and a minister, he dispensed it, I think, to Meath Chronicle about it after that. So, but yeah, that was a typical example. But the local politician absolutely has to be in touch with the local paper because they're indispensable.
And you ended up owning, I think, or largely owning the Longford Leader then, the main paper in the county. How difficult a customer was Albert to deal with? I mean, even when he was consumed with national and European and international affairs.
Well, I knew he was never going to sue for libel. That was obvious. You'd know from his demeanour that he wasn't going to sue. But that doesn't mean that his local favoured local solicitor didn't make a lot of money from writing libelous letters to, or threatening letters to, the Longford Leader. I mentioned one time that he was very particular about it. We used to make apologies to him if there was something actually wrong, which is the correct procedure anyway. But there was one anyway. And I remember him on a Monday morning when he was Minister of Finance. He was at a finance meeting in the EEC in Brussels or someplace. And at 8:30 in the morning, he rang me directly to say he wanted to read out the apology that was going in that week. He wanted to read it and hear it himself.
So he wanted you to read it out?
Yeah, to him, yeah, so that it'd be accurate and so on and so on. But I didn't mind that because I thought he was, if you take a sporting analogy, it was a sporting thing to do. If we made it what he interpreted to be wrong, something wrong, then he was entitled to get it corrected right as he saw it as well. Whether we agreed with that or not has been right or wrong, Shane Scale Ella, but we weren't going to start suing a multimillionaire like Albert Reynolds anyway.
I suppose, Regina, there is a part that the paper has. You might have to make a correction through gritted teeth, but on the other hand, maybe, you know, things could be evened up over time with pictures appearing or not appearing.
Absolutely. And I mean, there is that balance of relationship, I think, between the local politician and local other vested interests and business people and so on, and the local paper. I mean, I remember the Cointelegraph, and anyone could step in off Cavendish Lane and Castlebar. It was an open house and anyone would step in. In more recent times, I worked in a newspaper where there was a code on the door, but it seemed circulate, particularly amongst local councillors who were able to suddenly they'd appear in the newsroom and no questions were asked. But there was that kind of relationship, and there would be cross words, I think, in offices in local papers and as it should be. But there was a kind of a tit for tat, and one needed the other. And I think there was that kind of knowledge. But I think the value of the local paper, particularly for if you're in a rural community down 4 hours from Dublin, you know, the paper did take on this role as well as being for the county and standing for the county. And that became very important, I think, at times over the years.
Frank, is that something that you encourage your, I presume, 7 editors or at least your multiple editors to do, to take a distinctive stand on behalf of the county?
Well, actually, it's very interesting. We're talking about local newspapers. There was an umbrella title of regional newspapers back in maybe 2000, 2001. We're now very much local. Local is really good. And local is where, you know, the branding is. And for example, yes, we do encourage our editors and sales managers to be totally embedded in the community. But it's interesting, Sean, I'll give you two figures. On a weekly basis, there are 1.7 million Irish people reading a local newspaper. And very interestingly, on a monthly basis, there are 1.1 million unique users for our digital presence. So the local paper of 2014 will only grow and prosper and be there in 2020 if it has a combined digital and hard copy presence, and therein lies the challenge. But it's been actively worked upon.
How do you get that balance? Presumably, if there's a big breaking story, people aren't going to wait until maybe 6 days until the next edition of the paper comes out. So do you have a fairly lively website? And what do you keep back from it? Because presumably you still want people to go into the newsagent to pick up a copy and pay their €2.
Oh, totally. And in many ways, local papers are probably doing a better job than nationals. We don't give away the farm. We're not putting up, in Celtic Media Group, we're not putting up our titles for free on the web, because that'd be quite silly. Whereas instead, through Facebook and Twitter, there's an interaction. And for example, you in your newspaper, say in Longford Leader, you're probably going to have, 120 photographs. But on the website, you know, you can put up a multiple of that. And therein lies the opportunity to increase the number of eyeballs looking at us.
Mm. Eugene, I think it's true that you got out at the very top of the market at a time when you were, I won't say you were turning them away, because no owner would ever turn people away if they were waving checkbooks trying to get ads into the paper. But how good did it get in the good days?
Well, I mean, the normal way to value a local newspaper in those times, and I presume still, is a multiplier of the net profits. It's very simple, really. You know, I mean, if you make €1,000 profit, it would be either 10,000 or 15,000 or whatever, you know. And we were fortunate. We had a very compact, small paper, but, it was a circulation of about 11,000, 12,000, which was very good for a county of 33,000. But a lot of the papers were sold in Longford, in Leitrim, Cavan, Westmeath as well. But our multiplier, because we ran a very efficient paper, I'm trying to be modest here, but the multiplier for that was 15, which is good now. It is above average. So that's the time.
How many million did you get out of the sale then?
Well, there's no secret about it. Sure. I mean, you had it before. I think you wrote about me one time. Where did you go wrong? And I still look to find out where did you go wrong with the money you have and me sitting here. But anyway, Sinn Scale, Irish.
Go on.
Well, the multiplier, it was 10 million euro was the price of the paper. It was very simple. It was 15 times the net profit, and that was it. And I'm sure. Now, that wouldn't apply in the papers that Frank bought her into, because the whole thing changed, obviously. The papers collapsed. I mean, Johnson Press, who bought a batch of papers, they spent over 260 million buying papers, right? And an individual man sold it very recently for 8 million, the whole kibosh. And that includes massive papers like the West, like the Leinster Leader, the Limerick Leader, the Donegal Democrat, huge paper like that. So I'm sure Frank got his for about, 500 quid or something like that. No, but he got them at the right price anyway.
Definitely. Not, but
and it's hard to buy anything in a cabin, you know, without getting a good deal.
Sean, this country went berserk, not just in newspapers, so there's a whole restructuring was required. What's happening there now is good, sensible business development. In our own company, we did a management buyout, we had to borrow a considerable amount of money, but it's been paid back.
Regina, what about the terms and conditions under which people work? Because I know when I started with the Connacht Tribune 40 years ago, it would have been seen as a comparable career to going into the bank, God be good to us, or teaching, or the civil service. Now, what's your sense of it now, say, where local
papers are concerned? Well, I was actually just looking myself at the points that came out yesterday for journalism, which have dropped considerably since I started in journalism, back in 1999, which gives you some sense of the demand that's out there from young people wanting to go into journalism, because I think the whole role of the journalist has changed hugely. Anyone can be a journalist now, and that's the problem. You know, anyone can take a picture with their smartphone, it's out there on the internet. If it happens in Castlebar on a Tuesday night, you're waiting until next Tuesday for the Connacht Telegraph to come out to tell you what happened. So that is a big problem for us. In terms of the career itself, I mean, personally, I think the journalistic fish in that small pond in the locality has such importance, and the knowledge they have, we see it maybe at election time when you go down the country to cover each constituency, and the knowledge they have, the characters they know, the people they know to go to for the information, I think their role, but that's that's something they have to work on, you know. They have to put themselves out there. I mean, there's Facebook teasers, there's Twitter teasers. Whether that actually translates to somebody then going into a shop and buying a paper is another thing, and I don't know if they are.
Frank, you took ownership through Celtic Media of the Connacht Telegraph, Regina's family paper, just a couple of months ago. And it's got a history that goes back, is it to 1828?
1828,
that,
yes.
That far. So who knows what the future holds, but what holds? But how confident are you that you can turn it around?
Very, Sean. We had a launch in the tennis club in Castlebar, a relaunch, because we changed to a compact format about 6 weeks ago, and you can just sense the loyalty and support of Castlebar and that part of Mayo. You know, we've got really quality people there. Tom Kelly has taken over as editor and Bernard Hughes as sales manager. These are people who love their newspapers.
And how many copies does it sell every week?
We're selling just over 8,000 copies, which is... And Mayo is a very competitive market. You've got Mayo News in Westport, you've got
and
Western
just,
People.
In fact, I was just looking at their copy last night, of last week's. They've got a new look again at an award-winning paper. I'm not sure how necessary it was, but they feel it themselves. You've arrived now, you've smartened up the look of the Telegraph, and they want to stay competitive with you. So I suppose that's all healthy from the point of view of the reader.
It is, and look, at Mayo News is probably one of the best local newspapers in the country. So, yeah... They have a very smart design. Well done.
I think for all the Mayo papers, the fact there's a semi-final coming up is... I was talking to the editor of the Western People last night, who told me the biggest circulation in the history of the Western People was when the Pope came to knock. The second biggest circulation was in 2006 after Mayo beat Dublin in that wonderful semi-final where there was the Mill on the Hill, if you remember, that Mayo warmed up in front of the hill. And that was the second biggest circulation. So sport is a huge seller and in all Ireland is a boost.
There were some smashing pictures as well in that.
And what about
your paper as well?
What about the circulation there?
We don't talk about that, Eugene.
Okay, well, look, we'll leave it there and wish all the people working in all of the provincial newspapers sail farther and continued big sales and loyalty from their readers, because there's no doubt they perform a fantastic service. Eugene McGee, Frank Mulrennan, and Regina, it was only yesterday I discovered your background in the newspaper. You are, I suppose, Mayo's answer to... You could be the Patty Hearst of the...
That's the foot of my business cards,
Of the newspaper industry, had things been different. Thank you all for being with us. Back with some live music after the break.